Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! It's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. We're ready to rock and roll. We have a great show on tap for you tonight, so stick around. Don't go nowhere. Check this out. If I can get it to go, here it goes. Yes, indeedy. Eat your Wheaties. And play. Here it is. And here it isn't. I don't know what's going on around here these days. I can't get nothing to play. It's crazy. So we'll go. I'm going to try to give you my phone number for the show tonight. It's just not playing. I want to say hello to Alex, Jason, Gary, Mr. Binford. What's happening? El Guapo in the house. Yes. Susan DeLumis, we would love to have you come on the show, please. Susan, come on the show. Reb Ryder's simulcasting tonight on rapidfire.caster.fm. So if you can't get it here, get it there. Check out Rapid Fire Radio. They're doing great things. If you want to call, my soundboard's not working tonight. Let's see. It's just not working.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
You know? And check it out. Enjoyed that. We loved it. Look. They cut me off. They killed my feed. Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, because I played Born in East L.A., they turned me off. These people. They turned me off. But I'm back. My guests aren't on the line. If they are, I don't know what's happening. No, I don't know. I'm going to have an internet issue. Ad breaks have been turned off. This video contains music, audio, or video that may belong to someone else. You know? Oops. And I think they just blocked my whole video. So now I got to go look. Am I blocked? No, there I am. It says I'm still live. All right. I don't know what's going on. I got no guests. I got no show. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I'm live on the air. I don't know if anybody can tell me if I'm live on the air. Hello? Is there anybody out there? See what's happening. I think my first guest is called in, but my live feed has kicked. I think it's wiped out. Let's check something out here. I'm going to hold on a second. I'm still going. See? Well, there you have it, folks. They blocked me temporarily for playing Born in East L.A. and my whole audience disappeared. So that's a real drag. So if you happen to know anybody who might want to have some laughs and see a show tonight and watch me train wreck once again. Have them tune in right away because my audience, we got blocked, we got booted, but we're back. Unbelievable. I can't believe they did this. Facebook, up to their no-good tricks. They're good at them no-good tricks. That's what they do. They like to conserve, they like to block us. I played less than a minute of the song, you know? I don't understand the problem. Usually, you know, they let you slide if you go with less than a minute of the song, you know what I'm saying? They didn't let me slide this time, so please, folks, please, get out and find the show and share it to everybody because we're being blocked again because we played a song from somebody else. I don't have anybody in the live feed, not a single soul. So let's see. Let's maybe share it a couple times. Share it now. Let people know we're here. If you're around, start a watch party. I'm going to pick up my guest now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show as we're train wrecking here on the Patriot Nation radio show. This is a real drag. I got nobody. Welcome to the show. Our featured guest tonight, Marissa Hamilton. What's happening?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I was trying to have some fun there, and Facebook dumped us. But my live feed is still up, but
no.
I don't have a single person on the live feed. There's not one person in the live feed. So if you're listening, they blocked me. I'm blocked. When I look at my page, it's still there. But that doesn't mean I'm not being blocked somewhere else. And no one's like chiming in to tell me that I'm blocked. So if you happen to
on your personal Facebook profile?
Yep, and I also put
it
in our chat.
Yeah, it still says the content isn't available right now.
It says unavailable?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to have to bail out of that one and start a new one. What do you think? I think so.
Yeah, because it won't let me access it at all.
I'm just going to delete the whole thing. So you know what I'll do? I'm going to make another one right now, and then I'll play a song, and we could share it together everywhere. I'll send it to you. Holy crow. Folks, we are having a fun night, all because I played Born in East L.A. by Cheech Marin. They blocked me. So now we're restarting the show right now. Here we go. Live feed is going right now. 3, 2, 1. Bam, we got a new live feed, ladies and gentlemen. Let me share it. Here we go. Marissa, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. So that's good. I'm going to play I'll play something really cool by our good friend Dave Bray. You know Dave Bray, from former lead singer of Madison Rising. He's a good friend of the show. And I'm going to do his tune, Freedom Rings. While we share this around, I'll get it to you real fast once I get the song started. Where to go? I got 1,000 songs on here. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Bray, Freedom Rings, as we get ready to reshare this show around. Hopefully it plays. Been having nothing but technical difficulty. It's crazy. Inviting everybody.
For every soul from every war, cross the seas, run ashore, every fold of our flag, the coffins are laid, we hold land, every daughter and every son, the price. So from every war across the seas.
Right here on the Patriot Nation radio show. Don't worry, we are scheduled for a 90-minute show because I just, Mondays I always schedule 90 minutes. So something like this happens, we can still do a full hour, no problem. You know, someone's asking why the trains are running so much. Maybe I have a train on here somewhere. We can bring the train, the Trump train, right in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trump train's rolling, exonerated. Whatever they want to say, he has been exonerated. Plain and simple. There you have it, folks. I just want to say real fast, April 1st, the Town and Country Mall on Highway 19 in Spring Hill, Florida. The Trump Unity Bridge will be rolling into town. We're going to have speakers. We had just an announcement of two special speakers. I have not got the official word of who they are yet. I'll be speaking. George Colella, the Godfather. You may have seen him traipsing around Florida with Governor DeSantis during his campaign, working some security details and doing things for him. I want to say hello to my friends over at Susan's Trump Country. Hope you all listen. Yes, there's Kathy right there in the live feed, so don't forget to come on down to Susan's Trump Country. Highway 19, Spring Hill, Florida, April 1st from noon to 6. Some vendors, voter registration, maybe a little bit of music, some speakers, a lot of fun. Unity, the bridge coming to Spring Hill, Florida. All right, we're back. We had a little rough go. I want everybody to make sure they head over to DaveBrayUSA.com, LibertyRush.com for new social media without the lib-targeted or liberal leftist rhetoric. They don't like me to say libtarded, but they're kind of libtarded, aren't they? And, of course, patriotshit.com right there, folks. It's backwards because you know how these crazy cameras work. If you want to see the comments, you got to do a backwards camera. That's why it looks like when I put my hand on my heart during the national anthem, I'm on the right side. Maybe I should put it on the right side so it looks like the left side. I don't know. But anyway, that's some of the websites we're hawking right now. I have another one in my head, but I can't remember it. It went in this side and out that side, and I'll bring it up later. But don't forget Trump Country, Spring Hill, Florida. All right, so Marissa, welcome to the show. We made it.
Thank you.
The audience is still low. So Alex, I see you're in there. Kathy, I see you in there. Share, 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 like. Linda, please share. Do me a favor. Let's build this audience. We had a crash. It was an audience. I played a song. They knocked us off the air. What a bunch of turds. Facebook. I can't believe it. So now, woo! Now we have been touching on this very hot topic of the illegal immigration invasion, because this is what it is. Right now, the system is completely overwhelmed, 100% overwhelmed. They cannot take another. It's just they're putting them on buses now and just dropping them off on street corners. So we really have an issue here, folks. This has turned into more like a holy crap. What are we going to do with these people than anything? More than a crisis, more than a situation. We have like something really serious happening here, and it needs to stop. More caravans are on the way, and caravan after caravan after caravan are going to come because they know a wall is going up and they can't get in anymore. So they're going to send a million of these people. Watch it. 90% of Honduras is going to live in East L.A. Like Cheech sung, born in East L.A. All right, I can't play the song, but I can kind of a cappella it. Hey, my friend John is watching all the way from the Washington State. We got people from Texas. Florida, everybody's watching. I want to say hello to everybody. So now, let me do this one more time. Welcome to the show, Marissa Hampton.
Hi. It looks like we have now a bunch of people joining, so that's great.
Right.
So, and I did a little watch party, so hopefully we can bring more people in from that.
You know, Melinda did a watch party on the last show. Holy moly, the audience took off. So those watch parties are real cool. If you want to host a watch party with all your friends, folks, please do. All right, so I got off track. I was talking about the part of the illegal immigration crisis that nobody's talking about. And I've been trying to talk about all aspects of this whole crisis, from the murders, the sex trafficking, and the child trafficking. And part of the child trafficking that people don't realize is that after they signed the last budget, in that budget deal that they made with these leftists was, if you bring a kid, you get in free. So guess what? 80% of these people are coming across with children that don't belong to them. Is that the case? Is that about a fair assessment, Marissa, on the percentage?
I don't know. Like, I don't think anyone truly knows how many of these kids belong to the adults that they're coming with or not. Like, that would have to be substantiated by DNA tests, really, to know that for sure. There's lots. Essentially, what's happening at the border, I would describe as more chaos than anything else. And unfortunately, whether these kids are coming with their parents or they're coming with strangers or they're coming with traffickers, in all scenarios, they end up being the victim of what's going on. And ultimately, the root cause is a combination of really, really bad policies back in their home countries, mostly from socialism. And then, ironically, the same people that support those same hard policies are the ones that are then making these people less safe in the policies that they're insisting we have here as a nation. And so whereas Trump has been trying to, one, protect the border with a wall and various other elements, he's also tried to reform immigration so that it's a system that makes sense and something that we can manage, that we can keep people safe that are crossing the border, that are crossing the border right now illegally, but need to have a way to be able to come here legitimately, and at the same time, first and foremost, protecting the American people. And so it's just insane to me that it's leftist policies that destroyed their home countries, and now it's leftist policies that are preventing them from being able to have solutions so they can come in a safe manner, in a legal manner, in something that isn't chaotic, and something that protects these children first and foremost from their perspective.
Absolutely. You know, I think they should reopen Ellis Island and no one comes to the country except through Ellis Island. That's it. And that, you know, and that's it. Get on a boat.
Yeah, I mean,
the nice thing about
Ellis Island is that, one, you were vetting people before they came into the country. You were making sure that they didn't have any type of serious contagious diseases before they came to the country. You could make sure that they weren't dangerous, that they're not a terrorist. And at the same time, the people were treated humane in the process. And then when they got here, they weren't propped up with a bunch of really, really bad social programs that were going to hurt their ability to be successful.
Right. Exactly. They had to be able to contribute to society.
Yep.
Not be a leech, not be a scum sucker, bottom feeder.
Yeah.
Eating off the tax.
And the only part of American tax dollars that were used is the vetting process. And the time that they were within that quarantine to make sure that we were safe and they were safe.
Yeah. But God forbid.
The program today is bad for everyone. And it's especially bad for these children.
Wanting safe America is racist. How dare you? that's basically where we're at.
And it's insane to me. Because even if, let's just say, fine, you want to be on the side that, you know, politically you want to have division in America. You're one of the people that politically you want to have division in America and you want to push far socialist policies. At some point, where do you stop and say, you know what, this is bad for these kids. Let's come up with a system that works better for these kids and keeps these kids safe. But we don't even have that today. And then what's worse is when, you know, in the conversation that I had with Steve, which is what brought me to your show, is then these kids end up becoming victims of our Child Protective Services system, which is awful for American children. And so these children are going from having to cross a dangerous border, being raped in the process typically, or being injured in some way, shape, or form, or having their health hurt in some way, shape, or form, to then having to become victims of our foster care system. And it's just, it's so sad, and it's unnecessary. And and I don't think most people understand what our foster care system brings to the table.
Now, first I want to say hello to everybody that's tuning into the live feed. I got a couple of new folks there. Anastasia, I think Anastasia has a radio show herself, has a little broadcast of us of her own. So if you still have that going, Anastasia, please post the link in the live feed. We'd love to promote other alternative media sites. Please post away. You know what I mean? Alternative media is where we get the truth. You know, you know what I noticed? There's only one media person that I noticed that is fighting so hard for the truth, fighting harder than any other media person besides myself, because I think I fight pretty hard. I just don't have the audience. Sean Hannity. Love him or hate him. I want to say hello to my niece, Katrina, watching from New York. What's happening, Katrina? Tonight we are talking about illegal immigration, the children that are involved in this whole mess, and them being admitted into our foster care system, which is now overburdened with illegal immigrated children who are being brought here because in the last budget they signed bring a kid, get in free. So now that it's ramped up, that everybody's bringing kids and they have to make sure these kids are with their families. And when they find that these kids aren't with their families, they get taken in by Child Protective Services and put into the foster care system. And what happens when they finally make it to the foster care system and they're now officially in the system?
Sure. So there's one step in between that the government's supposed to do, but traditionally they're really bad at it, which is they're supposed to unite them with their families in their home countries. But they're just really bad at it, and they typically don't do it. There's a lot of financial incentives to put them in the system, and that's where everything goes wrong.
Right.
So
and
within the system, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and is there not? We know there's profitability of bringing them to the country in the first place. What's the profitability of these agencies when they house these children? Are they making money off each child that they hold in their custody?
Within the foster care system, yes. And I can't imagine that that the way that the system works with ICE, that there's not some type of financial profit to be made either, because you can't run a program with housing that's run by third parties if those third parties can't pay their bills and make a little bit of profit. That's the way it works. So someone doesn't go into business to make no money. And essentially these are businesses. So someone's making money.
Right. I saw
I saw a really scary case where a couple of kids were sent to a group home. I don't know if they were illegal alien children, but it was part of the Child Protective Services and all of this. And these three young ladies were sent to a group home and came up missing. And this group home is like locked and has gates and everything. And yet these three girls came up missing out of the facility and nobody knew nothing. And I'm sure this is occurring all across alien children that are being dragged here by some criminal adult.
Yeah, so what happens in group homes is, for anyone locally in your own areas, your police department might do a citizens class. In Phoenix, it's called the Phoenix Civilian Academy, or the Phoenix goes to go to those classes and understand the way your own department operates in your own town. Because when I went to my class, there was a whole section on child sex trafficking. And in that, we learned that the number one place children are trafficked from is from group homes.
I said, go figure. Who would have thought?
Well, I mean, it's prime target, right? You have kids that are lonely. They don't have family. They're looking for someone that cares about them, that puts a personal interest in them. Very easy for a child trafficker to just show a little bit of attention to a child, and they, you know, they're craving that, so they're going to go towards it, not recognizing the dangers they're putting themselves in.
Right. It's pretty scary. So now that they're making money off the kids, they've already been trafficked across 2,000 miles of arid, barren desert. Some of these kids are even actually dying because they're being neglected coming across this. Right off the bat, the parents of these children should be incarcerated immediately for abuse and neglect of dragging kids across that arid tundra. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, to be fair, from the parents' perspective, for the ones that are legitimate parents, they're coming from a place where their kids were being starved in their home country. So I don't know what I would do in that situation. If in my own town that I'm living in, if in my own home, people are being murdered, people are starving, I don't have a way to feed my kids, I don't have a roof over my kids' heads, and someone comes to me and sells me a pipe dream that is America and says, and gives me some convincing spiel that they can get me across the border, and your kids are sick and hungry and whatever else, I can understand that to some extent. The problem is that our system today is not designed to support such a crisis in a legal, efficient manner that is safe for these families. And so they are kind of hoaxed into crossing the border. Some of them know the danger they're entering into, and shame on them for putting their kids through that. But for the ones that are hoaxed and end up putting their kids through a bad situation, we don't have a means to be able to receive these people in this crisis in something that makes sense. And every attempt that Trump has made to do that, Democrats block it.
It's a sad situation, too, you know. It's unbelievable. I believe that the United States government sends billions of dollars to Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, where most of these folks are now coming. What are these governments doing with this mass amounts of millions of dollars that we give in aid to these people? What are they doing with that money? The folks are not sending it to the people.
Right, but we're funneling that money into essentially socialist failed systems. So we're funneling money, it's kind of like putting it down an incinerator. You're like, have an incinerator, and you're like, hey, this is going to fix it. I'm going to put more refuse in the incinerator, and magically it's going to be better. It doesn't work that way. And so we're pouring money down systems that are broken and destroyed, and that's not what's going to solve these problems.
I think fat cat politicians in these corrupt states are pocketing the money and having parties and taking boat rides and, you know, having a good old time while the people suffer. That's what I believe.
Well,
I think we should cut the aid off.
It was seen, like, on some yacht or something like that. I didn't pay much attention to the story, but she was, like, living the high life, some close relative to Hugo Chavez, while her country is starving. It was like a modern-day Marie Antoinette.
Hugo Chavez. Venezuela is trash. I feel bad. I have a friend from Venezuela, actually has some family down there, and it's really sad what's happening in Venezuela. You know that in 2012, they disarmed the Venezuelan people. And here we are, 2018, they can't fight back. See? And that's what they're trying to do. They can't fight back.
Yeah, and all the system that exists today of having open borders is bad for the people that are trying to flee their country. It's bad for Americans. It's terrible for Americans. It's in part hurting our economy and our ability to grow and be prosperous. I mean, we have a booming economy, but imagine what it would be if we didn't have this dragging down on our communities. You know, it creates public pressures on public safety. It creates pressures on housing and homelessness. So, you know, it's bad for us as America, but it's also bad for these people. And I don't understand why, you know, why problems at the same time. Why can't we secure our border and that is orderly and keeps us safe, but also doesn't drag these people through a human trafficking ring to get here?
Right. Which they are being dragged through. There's a sinister plan for many of these people in these caravans. They're actually being told, folks, on TV, come to America. We got you back. We'll get you there. Once we're there. And not only that, but they're coaching the people what to say when they get here and how to get in. And our laws are so screwed up that they have to let them in. It's like, what?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And then redistribute them throughout the country.
It's absolutely insane, if you ask me. Like, really?
No, it is. It makes no economic sense, and it makes no sense for public safety. But even from the humanitarian sense, it makes no sense from that perspective either.
Yeah.
You know, you're like the worst, like, you're doing a really bad job as a humanitarian if you're going to defend open borders and what it's doing to these people.
And all these people that are pushing for open borders and to infringe the Second Amendment all live behind walls and hide behind armed guards. It's so funny.
Yeah.
That what's good for them ain't good for you. It might be good for me because I'm Nancy Pelosi, but how dare you want to protect your family? You got a lot of nerve. Oh, there goes
my
sign.
And so going back to the topic of foster care and what's happening to American kids, I focus on because the system that exists today is fraught with so much corruption. There is a video that I had watched that I can link later on that someone sent me, and I believe it's from somewhere between 2012 and 2014. I have never been able to find the source of the original meeting this was from, but it's clear in the context of the video when you're watching it that it's basically Arizona's Child Protective Services, a department called DCS, is training judges as to how to handle a brand new case. And what they tell them is that if the caseworker has said that the children can be can stay with the family, can stay with their parents, they're instructing the judge to have them modify that paperwork and separate the kids from the parent, even though the social worker has determined, the caseworker has determined that it's safe for the kids and parents to stay together. And that's because of the financial incentives behind it. The state doesn't recoup their money and doesn't get paid for taking these kids unless that paperwork says from the beginning that the kids have to be separated.
So basically, it's like a signal. They signal them like the second base coach telling the guy on first to steal.
Like a check. Yeah, they're kind of doing like a check and balance.
Right. Code words.
Yeah.
For take the kid away. The kid would be safer at home with the family. And that's them saying that is the key to take the kids away. That's crazy. That's
basically
nuts.
That's like,
you know,
caseworker, you're fired.
And you know what else? I saw a meme, right? And it had some things written on it. And believe me, I my heart goes out to all the folks that live in the areas that are mentioned here in this little meme. But it's kind of silly. When you think about it, the Army Corps of Engineers spent $60 billion to protect New Orleans. Divided by $138 million tax million taxpayers in the United States, that's about $435 per taxpayer to protect 395,000 people from a storm that might happen in the next 50 years. President Trump's current wall plan would cost $5.7 billion to protect the entire nation. Divide that by 138 million taxpayers in the United States, that's about $41 per taxpayer to protect 320 million people, their homes, their businesses, and their families. Members, to protect them from the real crime and the real drug deaths that are happening right now across our country. You know what I'm saying? $60 billion to protect 395,000 or $5.7 billion to protect the whole nation. I vote for $5.7 billion to protect the nation, protect these kids.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for these people that are being lied to and misled and brought here under these circumstances, which now the system's so overburdened that they can't even help the people that are coming here seeking help. They kind of just let them go.
Our churches locally are filled to capacity. Now, keep in mind, in my community and all of your communities, you already, before all this started, you already had a baseline of a homeless population. Homeless veterans, homeless families, homeless kids. And so because of the way our immigration system is, now we are adding to that burden. And so we are leaving Americans behind and multiplying the problem that we already couldn't solve for our own American veterans and our own American families. And that means have had to redirect resources to help these immigrant families. Now, the immigrant families are people, too. You know, they're families and kids and children and all that kind of stuff. But
they should move into the veterans.
We weren't able to take care of our own people first.
Right. So they should be moving into Skid Row while the people in Skid Row move up to, you know, moving on up to the east side, getting out of the boxes and out of the dumpsters. But no.
Right. And so
that's one of the things that gets me going in this whole issue. It's what gets me boiled in the whole issue is that there's one homeless veteran still on the street, one homeless American child. Before that, and not only that, but these folks, the sheriffs are being instructed to be lenient on DUIs and be lenient on these other charges that they might get. They don't have to go to jail. And they're giving them all these breaks and they're giving them all these freedoms that our forefathers put a constitution together to protect for us. This is supposed to protect us, not them.
Really,
they don't have constitutional rights.
And
you come here from another country and you break the law and you break into our country, the Constitution doesn't cover your ass. You're an illegal immigrant criminal. They should have no constitutional rights whatsoever in any way, shape, or form, except that they get kicked the hell out of here for breaking the law. That's it. That's where I stand. I'm sorry.
So in full disclosure, ideologically, I'm a libertarian, and I'm a humanitarian, so I do believe in human rights for everyone. There's a difference between human rights and constitutional rights, so I don't want to bring it down a rabbit hole. And semantics.
Can't let them starve to death.
One,
I wouldn't want them to starve to death, and I don't want them to die because they're out in the cold or freezing or something. You know, we got to do something. But they can't, like, come into the country and stay here. They got to come into the country, be processed, fingerprinted, and identified and sent back so when they come back illegally again, we catch them, and we can make sure they stay here. While they're here, yes, we got to feed them, clothe them, keep them comfortable,
What I would prefer is that we just put in all of our resources at the federal level and Congress do their job and pass immigration reform, something that we can manage,
something that
we can protect our border and manage, and so that these people are not, left with the choice of being trafficked. Like, why would you leave that out there? And the reason why is because they're a bunch of politicians that serve their self-interest to some extent at the end of the day. And when these problems get solved, those politicians can't fundraise on that issue because it's now solved.
Right. I have a friend from work who actually came here on refugee status from Bosnia area back when they had their war in the late 90s there, 20 years or something. And we were talking one day, and we're like, you know what? If you think about it, my country bombed the hell out of your country when you guys were asking for help. And if the two sides had their way, you and I would be enemies. We would not even be able to hold a conversation. But because we both understand it's not the people that cause the trouble, it's the government, we're able to get along as two, not as enemies, but as friends. It's not the people,
right.
It's the government that do this crap. The people are good, generally. You know
what I'm saying? Exactly. And that's to some extent how I look at a lot of the immigrants that are fleeing their country and coming here illegally. And so what I'd rather see is us put in resources to actually solve the problem and create an orderly system for them to come through that doesn't take them really starving for months. Be able to process people quickly and reasonably through. But don't have a catch and release program where we're then making Americans unsafe and creating a
right.
homeless crisis in our own country. Like, that's just, that's idiotic.
And to have folks like Steve Ronnebeck and Marianne Mendoza and Laura Iris Wilkerson and many, many, many others, angel families, have to put up with this more and more. You hear stories every day now of illegal immigrants causing the death of American citizens. Preventable. If they were not here, these folks would have their children. And some of these people have been deported multiple times, multiple deportations, and there they are, killing our children. It's absolutely sickening. And I don't think we need reform. We need to enforce the laws that have already been passed for decades. There are plenty of laws in place.
Well, I have to disagree with you because I think our laws are a hot mess. I don't think our system, I don't think the laws that exist today are good for America. And I think that we need to create laws that are good for America, create a system that's good for America. And so putting in resources, like the resources that are being put in today are enforcing laws that exist today. That's why they're releasing them back into the country after 21 days. And that's bad. That's wrong. I would rather our federal government violate our law and not release them back into the country and create a holding space for them and keep them.
The last administration trashed everything that was good about the immigration system. So let's enforce the immigration laws before the Obama administration. There we might get some. He did a lot to undermine the immigration system. So I hate to say it, but it's true. You know?
He did, but even before that, it still wasn't running very efficiently. And we have so much more technology and capabilities at our disposal that we could use to make the system run so much smoother communication-wise internationally that we could quickly vet people from a safety perspective and a health perspective that it would not be, you know, it's not rocket science to redesign this whole immigration process to be something that's economically feasible and protects public safety.
It has to be done right. It can't be done like Obamacare and have Nancy Pelosi strolling in with a gigantic gavel. They have to know what's in it.
Right,
they all
exactly.
have to read what's in it. And it all has to be common sense and be real. It can't be a bunch of crap.
Yes.
And it should only be about immigration. They shouldn't be trying to slide all this other special interest stuff in the back end of it and all this other crap. It should just be immigration reform, one bill, maybe three pages, get it done.
Yeah, exactly. It should be something that's simple and something that's manageable. Because if it can't be mechanized in a reasonable fashion, then our government is never going to pull it off successfully. And that's the most. And if it's not going to be pulled off successfully, then we go back into the boat where we have a bunch of illegal immigration, and that didn't fix any. That didn't help anyone at all.
And we need the Supreme Court to reinterpret certain parts of, like, say, the 14th Amendment. Because I think it's being twisted and changed to fit an agenda with the birthright citizen stuff. Like, if I go to Germany with a pregnant wife and she has a kid in Germany and we're both holding American passports and we're not citizens, my kid ain't German. He's American. He's coming back with, or she's coming back with me. You know?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Oh, I came here from Spain.
We're one of the few
I had a kid in California. We're all Americans. No, that's not how it works. That's ridiculous that that's even in there at all. That I can have a kid. It's an anchor baby. Now I can stay here. No, that's bullcrap. You came from Mexico pregnant and had a baby here. That doesn't mean you get to stay. Get out. Go back home. You got a doctor back home going to take care of you. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the whole anchor baby concept. And I'm not a fan of birthright citizenship. I don't think that that's the port. And I also think that it disparages what slaves went through as to why the 14th Amendment was created. It was created for their benefit, not for. And so I think it's insulting to them and for what those, you know, the ancestors of Black Americans of what they went through to apply it in such a fashion. I think it's degrading to them. I think the 14th Amendment, the second half of it was about debt, and that basically said we can't question debt, and so this whole immigration system is creating a bunch of debt, and we can't question it either. So the 14th Amendment's a hot mess all the way around.
Yes, it is. And I believe it wasn't even ratified legally, I think it was one of the amendments, maybe it was the 16th. One of the amendments wasn't ratified completely. And so, I don't know, it's kind of tricky. And, of course, many people know the original 13th Amendment, which was ratified by a couple of states, which made it actually official, but it didn't get onto the Constitution, was no lawyers are to serve in Congress. Convenient they left that one out, because I think they're all freaking lawyers now, all, you know,
right.
And they twist the law to suit their agendas. That's what I hate about it. And it's our duty as people to cast off the government that's no longer representing us and elect the government that will represent us. It's our duty to go up there. We could surround the Capitol and say, listen, you're not going to work today. All of you guys go home. Until we can get people in here who will represent the people. Surround the place and send them home. Go home. Work. You're not working today. But that never gets done. It's almost impossible to get 50 conservatives to the same place in one time. They can get 10,000 at the drop of a hat because George Soros is dumping money into their agenda. We don't have a money machine pouring money into our house.
Well, and let's be fair, even if you set the Democrats aside, we have problems within the Republican Party itself.
Yes,
so
indeed.
It's not
Absolutely. Exactly,
like in Arizona, our governor does a lot of good things, but he's been trying to do tax increases and pass red flag laws. He's a Republican. I can't support either one of those things.
Right. Yeah, you know, I can't say, now, as folks know here on the show, folks that know me know that I don't agree with every single thing the president says. If I did, that would make me crazy. You can't. There's so many people that it doesn't matter. He could say anything. And they're just like, yes, the president said it. That's it. It's in stone. No, it's not like that. I'm sorry. You know, the Trump bots and the Obama bots and the Bush bots, every president's got them. The ones that he can do no wrong no matter what. And
if you're gonna be pro Constitution, then you need to put the Constitution first before whoever's president.
Yeah. Sorry, my son just came home from Taekwondo, and he got another stripe on his belt, his gold belt. So he's on his way to the next belt.
Congratulations!
Yay!
So
doing great.
Mama's there.
Nice.
That's what we're fighting for, right there. Keep them out of them crooked systems.
The child welfare system, essentially the way that it operates is that once the Child Protective Services is able to go through the process of separating the parents from the kids, and, you know, in a lot of cases, they're just making up stuff. They're lying to the court. They're lying in their documentation. A lot of times they just use templates and they are lazy and don't correct the templates with accurate information. In a lot of cases, these families might just be poor and they just need a little bit of help and there's not actual true abuse going on. And so these kids get separated. It's extremely traumatic and terrifying for them. I posted a story earlier today about a family where their child essentially had a fever. The kids are unvaccinated because she was concerned that they weren't vaccinated. But by the time the parents got home, the parents wanted another opinion. And by the time the parents got home, the child's fever was stabilizing and their temperature was going back to normal. So they just decided to wait and see what happens and see how they're, you know, monitor their child, see how they're doing in the morning. And instead, the caseworker goes and gets a court order. And a court order means that it's not an emergency circumstance. So that should have meant that the next day, she should have let the kids have a good night's sleep and the next day gone to the family, seen how the child's doing, do a welfare check. No, instead the caseworker orders the SWAT team of her police department to go and literally rip down the door and kidnap these kids over a decreasing fever.
Well, I had someone on the show.
Like, how traumatizing is that?
I had someone on the show recently whose son was misdiagnosed with cancer, I would have to say, and would be with what I was getting from the story. It was misdiagnosed or had a form, but the treatments worked, and the doctor had said, this child no longer has cancer. But the somebody in the doctor's office didn't agree with the doctor and made some sort of report, and they took the kid away, and they're forcing chemotherapy on it. It's killing him.
Yeah, I saw that article. That it's just insane to me. Like, we've lost parental rights in this country. And the thing is that then once these kids go into the foster care system, one, they're absolutely traumatized because even studies have shown that even when the families have a culture of abuse within the family, and what I mean by that is, you know, yelling and maybe there's some hitting, but not like full on. Just full on, like, beating the kid abuse, but just not a healthy environment, not a healthy family, those kids still have a love for their imperfect parent. And so when you pull that child away from that imperfect parent, it creates stress and anxiety, and it's shown that it creates a higher level of PTSD than what our veterans suffer coming back from war.
Right. And you know, and I got to say, a small degree of corporal punishment, a spanking from time to time, is not against the law, at least not here in the Sunshine State. The police will come up to you. And we had an incident when my son was growing up where we were like, the police officer came up and said, ma'am, this is your fault because you didn't discipline this kid. You should spank him right now. You know, the cops stand there saying, spank him. He needs a spanking. So, I mean, to a certain degree, spankings are allowed. You know, you're not beating a kid if you just, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely a big difference between spanking and beating. I agree. And I think that's for each parent. They need to make their own decision. I don't think government has a right to make a decision on spanking. Government certainly has the responsibility of protecting children from abuse. But what we're doing is we're taking children under the guise of abuse, under an accusation of abuse, and then having the government abuse the children worse than the environment they came from in most cases.
Right. Or put them into a home where now they're getting abused in some ways that they should never be abused.
Right.
By people they don't know. They're put into these homes and expect these and have to automatically trust these people. You know, it's crazy. And so I would have to think that a good swat on the butt, you grab your kid by the scruff, give him one swat across the butt, because he won't listen to you in Walmart. You know, I would like to see more parents do that in the public place, give their kid one swat across the butt cheeks when they're acting unruly. I did that right here in the subway. My wife's back, you won't do that. My kid was swinging on the rail in the subway. I said, Mason, man, if you don't stop, I'm going to spank you right here in front of all these people. And he said, and he kept swinging on the thing. So I grabbed him, I spanked him right in front of all the people, and I took him out to the car. That's what we did. And now, guess what? Every time we're in the subway and I say, Mason, remember that time we were in the subway? And he listened. It's funny how that works.
Yep.
Got the peanut gallery behind me commenting. You know, I love when they get involved in the show, though. I like people talking to me. You know, hey, maybe with a little different perspective. Every once in a while, I should bring on two people. You know what happens when you bring two people with different perspectives? becomes a shouting match, and you have to cut somebody off or hang up on somebody because they start to curse. I try not to use curse words on the show.
Never
I don't know if you know. I encourage people to have their young, well, especially when I do shows like the Unplanned show, and we talked about Unplanned, the story of Abby Johnson. And in fact, her good friend Claire Colwell, you might see her around. She's a survived an abortion. And she's with other folks.
I've heard her story. It's amazing.
Yeah, and she's going around now with two other folks that also survived an abortion, and they are testifying in court proceedings about being survivors.
Wow.
And they are in Texas right now. They were in Texas today. But Claire will be coming on the show. I forget exactly the date. I think it might be this Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, with her birth mom. The mom who went in to have the abortion that she survived is going to come on with her. That's incredible stuff.
Oh, wow. How amazing. That's incredible.
We're bringing the truth right here on Patriot Nation Radio like you don't get it anywhere else. That's why I love doing this, because I want people to hear the whole story, every aspect of the story, not just one thing that you're getting hammered with when you watch the news. Because every one of these stories has a whole big picture. It's not just, we hate abortion. No, there's a whole big story of why we hate abortion. When you hear these folks who have survived abortion stories, you go, oh my goodness. Claire has a beautiful daughter who would not be here if the abortion was successful. The kid's bright and beautiful and promising as an American citizen. Would not be here if that abortion was successful. It's great. So, you know, every story has a whole nother ball of wax that goes with it. You know, so this immigration crisis at the border isn't just people trying to get in. There's kids, there's sick people, there's disease, there's criminals, there's drugs, there's gangs. It's not just people coming here. You know, they want to make you think that, oh, look, it's mom and her two kids and Uncle Fred. They're coming here because they're escaping oppression. And right behind them is five MS-13 gang members and a jihadi from Syria. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, there's that, and then I mean, if these kids are being sex trafficked, how in the world is the United States government supposed to just turn a blind eye to that?
Right, and they're making them do it, and I bet you some of these people that work these jobs go home at night and suffer from severe depression themselves. I wonder how many of these folks are being becoming victims themselves of this, of stress and anxiety and other illnesses because they can't take the pain of what they're doing. This is a whole,
yeah,
that's a whole
it's really
picture.
Sad.
I'd like to get a couple of Border
really
Patrol agents on
there.
And ask them how they deal with that. What's the stress like when you have to catch and release these people and you know that they're never coming back and you just let them go and you love your country and you just want to protect your country and the laws are making it so you can't do your job. And so now you're letting these people, and then you hear on the news the next day, oh, an illegal immigrant killed somebody. Oh, an illegal immigrant raped somebody. Oh, an illegal immigrant got caught with fentanyl. Dang it, I had that guy in my custody. You know what I mean? Those guys got to live with that.
Yeah, it's incredible to me that our Border Patrol, one, their job is so dangerous, but then two, they catch these people knowing that the government, there's a chance the government's going to release them again. And I have to give it to them, you know, if I knew that the policies in my government were going to undo the sacrifices that I'm making for my country to make it safer, it would be difficult for me to keep going, getting up and being excited to go to work every day to protect my country. And they do that. They do that every day knowing that they're risking their lives, their families are making sacrifices, and they know that the policies that are backing the job that they're doing might still be releasing these criminals back into the streets.
Right. It's crazy. And are you involved with any pages or any groups that are combating the trafficking of kids?
Yes. So I've had – now I more work on the policy side. But years ago I used to – when I didn't understand what the causes and what the solutions need to be, I used to donate and work with some of the groups locally that would fight sex trafficking and child sex trafficking. We have a group here called the Dream Center and an organization called Streetlight. And then we also have an organization in Tucson that's a veterans group that actually goes and rescues kids. And the work they do is absolutely incredible. And, you know, the sad thing is that so many of these kids that get trapped in it, I think this last stats I saw were like 80% of the kids, it depends on the report, but the reports show either between 60 to 90% of these kids that end up in sex trafficking came from our foster system.
And it's really
so
a sad
story. Yeah, and our foster system, like keep in mind, we're spending billions of dollars from our Social Security fund every year to fund the foster care system, billions and billions of dollars. And it's a system that some kids, by their actions, are saying, you know what? Sex trafficking is a better option than me staying in foster care after the United States wasted billions of our Social Security money. So
imagine that.
I look at
yeah, that's your choice. I could stay here in the foster house where I'm getting my ass beat and getting abused, or I can go become a hooker. And they choose being a hooker.
Well, and it's not. Well, and it's not even choosing to be a hooker. It's that person that's their pimp shows them some love sometimes. They're going to abuse them the rest of the time, but because they get a handful of moments that feel like love to them, they end up being trapped in that for that reason. Because
yes, indeed.
The abuse that they get in the foster home is such that they have no human connection whatsoever.
Right. And those organizations that you mentioned, is there a possibility you can post that, those links in the live feed? Is there like a website or webpage? And you just dump it in the live feed?
Yep.
People are asking there in the live feed.
Yeah, I can post it afterwards. And just so everyone heard me clearly, there's a group in Phoenix called Streetlight. There's also the Dream Center. There's also a Dream Center in L.A. and I think in a couple of other cities. And they specifically go out and rescue.
Is it Streetlight, like L-I-G-H-T-S or L-I-T-E-S?
Yeah.
Do they do it fancy? Like
L-I-G-H-T-S. And the Dream Center specifically goes out and rescues kids from sex trafficking. They have an entire they bought a hotel that had gone out of business, an Embassy Suite, and they turned it into an entire facility to house the homeless, to house people that are drug addicted, and they have an entire wing that's just for victims of sex trafficking. And then they also have a wing that's for girls that are in crisis pregnancy that don't want an abortion. It's phenomenal the work that they do.
So that's the Dream Center and Streetlights, and both of these are in Arizona?
Yes. Well, the Dream Center is in more than Arizona. They have one in L.A., and I think they have another one in another big city, but they do have facilities in Arizona.
So I'm sure if you Google that, folks, I put the names there in the live feed, and I'll have the links. Marissa will send the links to me. I'll put them up on my radio page so that if you want to help, donate, volunteer, whatever the case may be, you can do that. Marissa, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. Stay with us. Stay in our chat. This is an ongoing thing. I have a few of these chats. I have one for the Vegas massacre and a couple other things that we, you know, so that we can continue to advance these stories and update one another and keep fighting this. I think it's very important. All righty.
All right. Thanks so much.
For a second, I thought we lost. Good. All right, so we're going to wrap up right now. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a blast. I think we got some good info out. Folks seem to like it tonight. So, again, thank you so much. And, again, stay with us in our chat, and we'll keep updating this as we go along. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Marissa Hamilton, and this is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. The calendar right now has got some things up in the air. We're going to have Claire Culwell and her birth mom are coming on the show. I got to check the date. I think I put it down here. What's today's date? 25th. I believe she's coming on the 28th is her date. Oh, no, she's coming on the 11th of April. Claire Culwell and her birth mom. Patrick Berge on the 1st. And I got something on the 28th, but I can't remember. I didn't write it down. It's not on my calendar. So we'll have an updated schedule Thursday on the 28th when we have no show. But tune in 8 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And, of course, a conservative's perspective heard here two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, with James Bostic. He's always doing great stuff. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we have the Star Spangled Banner, as performed by our good friend, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today. Please rise with me. I'll put the flag here on the screen. And if you're at home, please rise and dig this, the Star Spangled Banner. Maybe a commercial first. I usually get a commercial. It's YouTube I'm listening to here. Dave gave us permission to use all his music. He's a great guy. Look, it's spinning. Yeah, check it out.
I got lots of spinning going on in that. It's crazy. My modem is 4 feet to my left.
I can't make a song play. I'll just go like this. See you later. I got it on here. Again, the Star Spangled Banner, DaveBrayUSA.com. Get your copy today. Bam. See if it'll play here. If not playing there, maybe it won't play here either. There it is. Without you, there is no show. So thank you. Until we meet again Thursday, 8 p.m. right here on Facebook Live and at www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. We'll meet again. Peace. Good night. Love you all. God bless America.